The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
There was only one night game a year. On the 4th of July, the whole sky would brighten up with fireworks, giving us just enough light for a game. We played our best then, because I guess we all felt like the big leaguers under the lights of some great stadium. Benny felt like that all the time. We all knew he was going to go on to bigger and better games, because every time we stopped to watch the sky on those nights, like regular kids, he was there to call us back. You see, for us, baseball was a game. But for Benjamin Franklin Rodriguez, baseball was life.
Okay, Ben!
When I was in school, we used to say something like this. Listen here.
You know that. Listen to what?
Oh, beautiful, far, spacious skies. Far amber waves of rain. Far purple mountain majesties. Over the fruited plain.
But now wait a minute. I'm talking about America. America, you know, God done shed his grace on thee, he crowned thy good, yes he did, heavy brotherhood, from sea to shine sea.
Hard to believe that movie is 30 years old. That makes me feel very old. I remember the first time that I saw it, a friend of mine twisted my arm. I thought it was just a little kiddie movie, I guess. But he, along with 10 or 12 other people, we all went to the Dollar Saver Theater in North Oklahoma City, watched it together, had some really, really good laughs for that first viewing. And I've seen it many times since, just watched it again the other night with a few students here on campus. So that's from The Sandlot, 1993. Of course, the scene there playing ball at The Sandlot the night of July 4th. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video of this program, the live video stream, at our website, trumpetdaily.com. Or you can also go over to our Rumble channel. Just search for The Trumpet Daily. And you can watch it there with our growing audience, our growing Rumble audience. You can get to all of the shows on demand, of course, at both of those websites as well. 30 years old, and what a different time. I mean, just 30 years back. A difference. Imagine sending your 11-year-old boy off through the city streets, riding his bike, heading over to the Sandlot. The scenes in that movie, I mean, the safety, you know, the humor, as I was saying on yesterday's show, just the uplifting plot line. They don't make movies like that. 30 years ago, they don't make movies like that today, that's for sure. So many dark themes, so much violence. I suppose there's one kid's movie here and there that might be a little bit uplifting, but even so many of those, all of these subliminal messages trying to appeal to the adults. Look at how far we've come. And I don't say that in the progressive, enlightened sense. It's just like Isaiah 1 says that it would be. We're getting sicker and sicker. The evil's growing worse and worse, like Paul said. They just found a white substance in the White House. from the Washington Post. It says a preliminary field test indicated the substance was cocaine. Authorities sent the sample to a lab for further testing. It says the U.S. Secret Service is investigating a suspicious substance that prompted a brief evacuation when it was found Sunday evening inside the White House. Hunter was there Friday. He was at the White House Friday and then went off to Camp David with his father. And then the Secret Service finds cocaine in the White House. If this happened during Trump's years, wall-to-wall coverage from here to the end of this calendar year, for sure. As it is, well, I mean, look at what else has been revealed. This illegal pay-to-play scheme. Hunter, of course, being the bag man, he filmed so much of it, the WhatsApp messages, threatening Chinese businessmen, the bribes coming into the Biden family so that they could change U.S. policy. The White House today just filled with treasonous actors, drug addicts, prostitution rings. And then the son of the president getting it all on film, I guess. He recorded himself committing the crimes. This is the White House today. I mean, forget about what the founders would think. The men of 1776, I'll come to some of that history here in a second too. But just even 30 years ago, well, you had Bill Clinton coming into the White House, and he certainly took us down to an appalling level of evil and filth by the end of the 1990s. But the White House today, this is from Newsmax, it says he was, it's quoting James Comer, who's investigating the Biden crime family. He refers to Joe Biden. He was the big guy. Make no mistake, he was the big guy. The level of income from the foreign business dealings could exceed $30 million, Comer said. I'm confident it's at least $17 million, and it would not surprise me if it got to $30 million. It says, and listen to this, the transactions could exceed $40 million plus, but a lot of times these shell companies had other owners on the shell companies so that they could disguise the revenue and hide the revenue from either the IRS or the federal authorities or whomever. All of these shell companies, all of this money laundering, and then hiding it from the IRS so they don't have to pay taxes. These people that talk about you paying your fair share, the rich people need to pay their fair share, say the Bidens, say Joe Obama. And then they go about stealing from the government. They go about selling U.S. policies to the highest bidder. It's a different time. You think of the spirit of sacrifice that the founders laid for this great nation, the United States. The spirit of sacrifice, what they were willing to give up and to sacrifice for the good of the country, quite unlike the leaders guiding the nation today. 30 years on from that movie, 1993, one generation removed from that time period. Listen to what then Governor Ronald Reagan had to say back in the 1960s about how you could lose freedom just in a generation. That's all that it takes. This is clip 9.
You and I have lived too long with this miracle to properly be appreciative. Freedom is a fragile thing, and it's never more than one generation away from extinction. It is not ours by way of inheritance. It must be fought for and defended constantly by each generation, for it comes only once to a people. And those in world history who have known freedom and then lost it have never known it again.
It's a fragile thing, freedom, and you've got to be willing to fight for it, or you'll lose it. You'll lose it. This is from the Wall Street Journal, talking about how the media are there to cover for the Biden crime family. It says here, when a politician breaks the law and the story doesn't identify his party in the first paragraph, it's a safe bet the offender is a Democrat. We'll just conveniently cover that up. We'll hide that fact. It says, when Republicans pounce in the New York Times or the Washington Post, you can be sure the real story is that a Democrat has done something foolish and outrageous or outrageous. It says, more than a week has gone by since the bombshell WhatsApp message came out. And things don't appear to have gotten any clearer. On June 27, the Times acknowledged that it remains unclear why the Justice Department account of the Hunter Biden investigation differs so substantially from the tale of that the whistleblowers told. It says here, obviously, if Joe Biden were a Republican, the whistleblowers' claims would be front pages, front page news from now until Christmas. Reporters would be tripping over each other to get a story that could conceivably topple a president. But that's not what we have here, and it's no mystery why. They're part of the problem. They're part of the cover-up. And the cover-up, as the saying goes, is worse than the crime, even. And now you've got cocaine discovered in the White House. Cocaine! And conveniently enough for the regime media, the story is revealed on the July 4th holiday. So it'll just get lost. It'll just get buried in the news. It'll just get brushed aside. And life moves on. Here's Hunter following his dad around everywhere now. I mean, it's like that clip we played yesterday from Donald Trump. I mean, what a father-son arrangement or team this is. They're out to destroy the country. And themselves, in some cases, along the way. Addiction is nothing to make fun of. But this is happening. This is the smartest guy Joe Biden knows. And he's running prostitution rings. He's addicted to cocaine. He's filming himself committing crimes. He's text messaging people, threatening them if they don't send the money over. Then they're going to hold a grudge, and you don't want to get on the bad side of the Bidens. It's a crime family. It's like a mafia headed up by the Don, headed up by, really, Barack Hussein Obama. Listen again to President Reagan. This one's from 1964, clip 10.
You and I know and do not believe that life is so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. If nothing in life is worth dying for, when did this begin? Just in the face of this enemy? Or should Moses have told the children of Israel to live in slavery under the Pharaohs? Should Christ have refused the cross? Should the patriots at Concord Bridge have thrown down their guns and refused to fire the shot heard round the world? The martyrs of history were not fools. And our honored dead, who gave their lives to stop the advance of the Nazis, didn't die in vain. Where then is the road to peace?
There's Ronald Reagan back in the 60s talking about the spirit of sacrifice. If you look back at the founding of this nation, the United States, it was established. I mean, God had a hand in it, too, because of what we know is revealed in the Bible. The U.S. and Britain and prophecy, of course, will help you understand that. But there were a lot of amazing founders that sacrificed everything for their country. Where do you see that spirit today? This is from the preamble of the Declaration of Independence. It says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. It's a different time we're living in today, with elections being stolen, people cheating, lying, stealing their way to power. At the end of that declaration, it says, and for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. These were men of means most of them wealthy, as Paul Harvey notes in a famous monologue I'll play for you here in just a second. But the sacrifices these 56 made for their country, to serve their country, to help get this country established, it really is remarkable. Fascinating history. History that our young people, they used to learn well in school. Oh, yes. But what a different time. This, I think this too, is from the 60s, maybe the 70s. This is Paul Harvey's monologue on the founders and the sacrifices that they made. Clip 3.
You may not be able to quote one line from the Declaration of Independence at this moment. Henceforth, you'll always be able to quote at least one line. It's in the last paragraph where you will recall when I remind you, it says, "We mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." In the Pennsylvania State House that's now called Independence Hall in Philadelphia, the best men from each of the colonies sat down together. This was a very fortunate hour in our nation's history, one of those rare occasions in the lives of men when we had greatness to spare. These were men of means, well-educated, 24 were lawyers and jurists, 9 were farmers, owners of large plantations. On June 11, a committee sat down to draw up a Declaration of Independence. We were going to tell the British fatherland, no more rule by redcoats. Below the dam of ruthless foreign rule, the stream of freedom was running shallow and muddy. And we were going to light the fuse to dynamite that dam. This pact, as Burke later put it, was a partnership between the living and the dead and the yet unborn. There was no bigotry, there was no demagoguery in this group. All had shared hardships. Jefferson finished a draft of the document in 17 days. Congress adopted it in July, and so much is familiar history.
You can see the date there at the top left, 1974. That's Paul Harvey talking about the founders and the sacrifices they made for the unborn, for you, for me. America had greatness to spare at that time. The spirit of 1776 filled those minds and hearts of the founding of this nation. It filled them with a spirit of sacrifice and service. This is history that we used to be grounded in, the Federalist. This was a piece from a few years ago. It says, Americans are suffering from a knowledge gap about what American freedom is about, and it's one of the most important underlying factors in what divides Americans today. It says, once upon a time, American students got an unvarnished look at the U.S. Constitution. They learned about the inalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, as stated in the Declaration of Independence, equality of opportunity, minimal interference from the government, checks and balances, the separation of powers. The logic of barring the state from policing our speech and our thoughts and our conscience was simple to comprehend. People can only be free if they are free from government restraints. Bloat government power, and pretty soon the state owns you, body and soul. We're seeing that happen today. This is the grand vision of Barack Hussein Obama. Let's bloat the power of the federal government and give it more control over you. It says, a student with a good grasp of history could easily put the Constitution into context and understand that it gave birth to a republic unlike any that ever existed on the face of the earth. It addressed the flaws of the nation because it was designed for self-correction, guided by and for the benefit of its citizens. In short, the Constitution was a miracle. It was a miracle. My father's talked before about this noble document. How that the Constitution, the Declaration, there's biblical principles on which they were constructed. Play again. This is clip 4 from Paul Harvey.
But now, King George III had denounced all rebels in America as traitors. Punishment for treason was hanging. The names now so familiar to you from the several signatures on that Declaration of Independence, the names were kept secret for 6 months for each knew the full meaning of that magnificent last paragraph in which his signature pledged his life, his fortune, and his sacred honor. 56 men placed their names beneath that pledge. 56 men knew when they signed that they were risking everything. They knew if they won this fight, the best they could expect would be years of hardship in a struggling nation. And if they lost, they'd face a hangman's rope. But they signed the pledge.
And they won the fight. And as he says there, they secured years and years of hardship, so many of them. Founders who had their property destroyed, whose lives were lost prematurely, some of them kidnapped, killed. Listen again as he describes what happened to some of those that signed that declaration. This is clip 5.
Carter Braxton of Virginia, wealthy planter, trader, saw his ships swept from the seas. To pay his debts, he lost his home and all of his properties and died in rags. Thomas Lynch Jr., who signed that pledge, was a third-generation rice grower, aristocrat, large plantation owner. After he signed, his health failed. His wife and he set out for France to regain his failing health. Their ship never got to France, was never heard from again. Thomas McKean of Delaware was so harassed by the enemy that he was forced to move his family 5 times in 5 months. He served in Congress without pay, his family in poverty and in hiding. Vandals looted the properties of Ellery and Clymer and Hall and Gwinnett and Walton and Hayward and Rutledge and Middleton. Thomas Nelson, Jr. of Virginia, raised $2 million on his own signature to provision our allies, the French fleet. After the war, he personally paid back the loans, wiped out his entire estate, and he was never reimbursed by his government. In the final battle for Yorktown, he, Nelson, urged General Washington to fire on his, Nelson's, own home, which was occupied by Cornwallis. It was destroyed. Thomas Nelson, Jr. had pledged his life, his fortune, and his sacred honor.
Now listen to what he says about John Hancock, whose signature made him famous, the nicest, biggest signature to sign the Declaration. This is clip 6.
John Hancock, history remembers best due to a quirk of fate rather than anything he stood for, that great sweeping signature attesting to his vanity, towers over the others, one of the wealthiest men in New England. And yet he stood outside Boston one terrible night of the war, and he said, "Burn Boston, though it makes John Hancock a beggar, if the public good requires it." So he, too, lived up to the pledge.
If it serves the public, if it serves the Republic, then sacrifice it all. If this is what's necessary for the founding of this great nation, well, he was, I guess, resigned to just being a beggar. This Federalist piece, it says, "This knowledge and clarity about our founding principles has been deeply eroded. A sort of collective dementia has set into a large part of the electorate." In so many ways, you see, it's perfect. What we see in the White House, the illegitimate administration, the fake president, you see what's happened to the nation since 30 years ago, or since the founding. The spirit of 1776 is long gone. Says here, "Many Americans have been taught to believe America is the root of evil in the world. Many are stuck in their own grievance and victim mentality. And as weirdly twisted as this gets, they think government force is both the source and guarantor of their freedom. They rather like government force. They love bloated government. They love government taking away your freedoms." Says here, "Decades of a steady diet of distortions, dishonesty, and government largesse," it says, "coming from so many of the American elites, academia, media, and political leaders who don't believe in the merits of the very system that allowed them to flourish, have eroded the faith that Americans have in their own system of governance. So many people today have become so cynical. They know Washington is filled with weakness, with cowards, people who lack courage and any kind of faith in a higher power or being, faith in the scriptures. If you think about, again, what God's called for us to do or called us into his family to do, I mean, we've got to bring more than the spirit of 1776. The Bible says that we're to be a living sacrifice. Look at the spirit of sacrifice that Jesus Christ, look at the example that Jesus Christ set for us. He gave himself because he loves this world. He loved this world so much, and God the Father did too. He gave his son. And what does God say to us? This is Romans 12 and verse 1. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. See, by God's mercy, by God's spirit of sacrifice and service, we too can sacrifice ourselves for his work, for his plan, for his purpose. In fact, God says, be a living sacrifice. In the Old Testament, all the sacrifices were dead. They spilled blood, these animals. But God says to his saints, the first fruits, he says, be a living sacrifice. Lay down your life for God every day. That's what it means to do the daily, as it's talked about in Daniel 8. They had morning and evening sacrifices every single day in ancient Israel. And God wants that of us every single day. 1 Peter 2, verse 5 says, you also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. This is a spiritual principle we live by daily, offering up ourselves in service to God, making sacrifices to abide by the commandments of God, to love God above all else, and to love our neighbor, even as ourselves. That's a depth of love that you see coming only from God and his family. We're to be living sacrifices. We've been bought with a price, Paul said. And what a steep price it was. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He did that so you and I could be living sacrifices. Verse 2, this is back in Romans 12. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is a fundamental transformation that we can get behind. Be transformed into a God being. By the renewing of your mind every day, we've got to go to God to receive that spirit of power, that spirit of love, that spirit of a sound mind. We've got to be humble enough to let the mind of Christ in, to let Christ's thinking guide us. Romans 5, just backing up to chapter 5. Notice it says here in verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. He died for those who despised him, who hated him. That's some kind of sacrifice, a willingness to sacrifice everything for those people that despised him, for them to have hope when their minds are open to the truth. They'll have an opportunity to experience this fundamental transformation into a God being. Verse 7, it says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commends his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You'll see people in the world, there's a few left, that will sacrifice their life for someone they love, or maybe for a country they love. But here is Jesus Christ. It says God commends his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 9 says, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. It says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved. That's future tense. We shall be saved by his life, by the life of Jesus Christ. Saved by his life. Jesus Christ can live again in your flesh, in your heart, in your mind. 1 John 4 and verse 2. And bring that same spirit of sacrifice into your life, into your family, into your marriage. Listen again to Paul Harvey as he, again, describes the spirit of 1776, clip 7.
Of the 56, few were long to survive. 5 were captured by the British and tortured before they died. 12 had their homes from Rhode Island to Charleston sacked, looted, occupied by the enemy, or burned. 2 lost their sons in the army. 1 had 2 sons captured. 9 of the 56 died in the war from its hardships or from its more merciful bullets. I don't know what impression you had had of the men who met that summer in Philadelphia. But I think it's important that we remember this about them. They were not poor men. They were not wild-eyed pirates. These were men of means. They were rich men, most of them, and had enjoyed much ease and luxury in their personal living. Not hungry men. Certainly not terrorists, not irresponsible malcontents, not fanatical incendiaries. These men were prosperous men, wealthy landowners. They were substantially secure in their prosperity. They had everything to lose. But they considered liberty, and this is as much as I shall say of it, they had learned that liberty is so much more important than security, that they pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. And they fulfilled their pledge. They paid the price. And freedom was born.
Classic monologue there coming from Paul Harvey, one of his best ever. Certainly we miss those kinds of voices today. It is a different time, for sure, when you compare today to when freedom was born for the United States. When we come back, we'll play the, what is it, the news of the work, I believe. That's our normal Tuesday segment. So we've got a segment about the personal appearance campaigns. You can look forward to that when we get back from the promo, and then we'll just tie up a few loose ends before we conclude this July 4th edition of the Trumpet Daily. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. Every particle of human suffering, unhappiness, misery, and death has come solely from the transgression of God's immutable law. Obedience to God's law liberates us from all unhappiness, pain, and suffering. It frees us from captivity, from spiritual slavery. Obeying God's commandments guarantees a life overflowing with joyful abundance. For much more on this subject, request a free copy of The Ten Commandments. When you make your request, don't forget to enroll in the Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. This 36-lesson course is a distance learning program that will help you to get to know your Bible. Each month, you will receive a lesson that guides you in discovering the answers to life's most important questions, all from your own Bible. Your enrollment has already been paid for. Enroll today. Email your request to td
at kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
Since 1994, Trumpet Editor-in-Chief Mr. Gerald Flurry and his son, Executive Editor Mr. Stephen Flurry, have delivered dozens of personal appearance campaigns, or PACs. The live PAC lectures focus on world events, the hope contained in Bible prophecy, and what actions Trumpet subscribers can take beyond just reading the magazine. The PACs are patterned after Herbert W. Armstrong's campaigns. Mr. Armstrong founded the Trumpet's predecessor, The Plain Truth. He also addressed audiences of as many as 24,000 people at a time in personal appearance campaigns. This summer, Trumpet subscribers in the areas around Columbus, Ohio, Wilmington, Delaware, and Raleigh, North Carolina, had the opportunity to attend PAC lectures. Upon arrival, Trumpet subscribers were greeted by campaign coordinators and other volunteers who are members of the Philadelphia Church of God. The volunteers scanned subscribers' tickets and provided information about free literature and follow-up Bible studies. Trumpet Daily host Mr. Stephen Flurry kicked off the 2023 PAC season with a lecture in Ohio on May 21st. The lecture focused on the theme of America in crisis. 186 people attended, including 27 attendees who were not PCG members.
The United States of America, the world's greatest ever single superpower on earth, was leading the way. And you saw that video there, what it said at the end, America in crisis. It is in crisis, for sure. My father picked that up as the theme for his PACs way back in 1999. That's almost 25 years ago.
On June 4th, Mr. Gerald Flurry discussed whether America under attack is prophesied in the Bible. Of the 174 attendees in Delaware, 72 were non-members.
America under attack explains what is happening in America today. And why is it happening? Now look at it, you know, for over 200 years, this nation has been blessed like no other. Why is it not blessed now?
Then on June 25th, Mr. Stephen Flurry addressed an audience of 196 people in North Carolina, including 55 non-members.
You see more and more people, though, today reaching out for answers and even considering what the Bible has to say. And you see more and more people saying that we're living in the end times, that we're living in the last days. That's because people are worried about what's happening. They're concerned.
Each of these PAC lectures was the day before a Celtic Throne performance. Following each lecture, the audience watched a short video promotion for the show. Then Celtic Throne singers sang My Country, Tis of Thee, part of the medley of American songs within Celtic Throne, to give PAC attendees a small foretaste of the show. Some purchased tickets for the Celtic Throne performance the following evening because of these promotions. After the lectures, Trumpet subscribers mingled with PCG ministers and members while enjoying light refreshments. The PACs are an important aspect of the work of God, giving Trumpet subscribers a chance to meet Trumpet writers and the church's TV and radio presenters in person. To learn more about the work of the Philadelphia Church of God, please visit pcg.church.
There's the July 4th celebration at the White House just a few years ago when, and I love how that Trump had it appear, Trump 2020. This is right in the seat of the swamp. He just blasts away into Washington, D.C., Trump 2020. Even that seems like a long, long time ago when you look at what's happening in the White House today. Of course, he's running again. Running again and hoping that there's not as much opportunity to cheat, to steal your way to victory if you're the communists. This is from the New York Magazine. It says here, it's pretty well known among attentive political observers that Donald Trump's shocking 2016 victory over Hillary Clinton was driven by his solid win among the many voters who disliked both major candidates. Exit polls showing 18% of voters fell into this category, and Trump won them by 17%. It's far less well known that despite losing in 2020, of course, you've got to put an asterisk with this, Trump won. I hate them both voters once again. It's just a weird, it's kind of a weird article in some respects. But this is the New York Magazine worried about the possibility, getting into some obscure numbers and worrying about the possibility of Trump coming back. It says here, all in all, though, the high percentage of unhappy voters should serve as a cautionary tale to anyone who thinks Donald Trump has disqualified himself from any serious chance of re-entering the White House. He's won one lesser of two evils election and came very close to winning another. Democrats need to do everything in their power to make Joe Biden more successful and popular. You know, the father of the crack addict, leaving his cocaine in the White House. We need to do more. Democrats need to do more to make him more popular, to make him a stronger candidate. Well, there's more and more Democrats that want to see somebody else replace him on the Democrat ticket in 2020. Just going back to that election, I think there were a few no-names that tried to primary Donald Trump, but he just steamrolled his way through the primaries. Was well on his way to a second term before they stole it. All of those mail-in ballots, 100 million mail-in ballots, just scattered all over the earth, all over the nation. This is from Politico. It says, President Joe Biden needs a tune-up. He's a stiff when speaking at the lectern. When not a stiff, the 80-year-old man, the 80-year-old can be adult, saying, as he did this week, that Russian President Vladimir Putin is losing the war in Iraq when he meant Ukraine, or blurting out senseless God save the Queen, man, at a gun control rally last week. I just want to emphasize this to you because it's, again, New York Magazine, and here's Politico. This article is brutal in its takedown of Joe Biden. It says here, the English language has never been his friend. Speaking of Biden, so it's logical that his managers or his aides have limited his exposure to the press. They hide him in the basement. They limit his exposure to the press. It's limited to two or three questions, pre-approved by the managers, pre-approved by the aides. It says, remember, thanks to COVID-19, a good portion of Biden's 2020 campaign was virtual. So 2024 will be more taxing for this president. Besides putting him in a fighting trim or not, primary adversaries would prepare us for the all too real possibility that he's incapacitated by a stroke, seriously injured in one of his frequent falls, or another bike crash, or just dies one evening. The Politico is going there. Says it's not impolite or unkind to plan for the sudden departure of an employee. Says someone, anyone, even Beto O'Rourke or Amy Klobuchar or Cory Booker or Chris Murphy or Elizabeth Warren would suffice. Just any heavyweight under the age of 75 with the pugilistic skills to put the current champion through a hammering 12 rounds. Nobody is owed another term just because they are completing their first. You would have to fight for the right to lead your party and your country. So this is, Politico says, you know, we want more primary opponents, if for no other reason, to just get him ready for battling Trump. The New York Daily News, well, I don't know if I need to get into this. Maybe I can just conclude a little bit early with some email feedback. If you'd like to write the program, submit some feedback, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. Here are a few. It says, thank you so much for this daily program. It is a shining light in the midst of oppressive darkness. listening to your program earlier in the week about the disgusting parade antics of these depraved, perverse degenerates exposing themselves to the crowd and children. I thought you were going to reference the parade here in Seattle. Here in Seattle, men, quote unquote, were riding bikes completely nude in front of adoring crowds. Then when they got when it got too hot, they stopped to wash and cool off in a downtown fountain where several young children were playing and running around. Just sickening. It says the perversion is everywhere. We are absolutely being force-fed this satanic sewage. Yeah, it's all around us. We're just being bombarded with it. You can see a scene from a movie that's 30 years old and think, what happened to our world? What happened to our cities? What happened to our children? Their safety? You've got another movie coming out today, which I understand is gripping, about child trafficking. Now, these are the kinds of themes that people are picking up on now because it's happening around us. Sex trafficking, all kinds of sewage and filth, as this viewer points out. It says here, I had heard nothing, this is another one, I had heard nothing about the Boston House of Horrors story until hearing it on your show. My eyes welled up in tears upon hearing about the four boys crying out for help in the back room. What horrors had they endured? How sick and depraved this world has become. All we can do is pray, thy kingdom come. Another one here says, thank you for the program yesterday. I'd only heard a little bit about the Boston incident. This is so awful. We've become truly sick with sin, horrible beyond belief. God's beautiful covenant rainbow taken and made into something sick and twisted is just too much. Another one here says, praise to PCG. I learn from every and all of your programs, books, and audio. You have a lot to say, and it is backed up with truth. The whole world and this nation, I'm sorry to say, is beyond repentance. If you'd like to write the show, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. You should also know that the Rumble channel, there's a live chat there that they provide with the channels, and you can leave comments underneath the show. Also, if you're at Rumble, make sure that you give us a thumbs up. Give us a Rumble so that we'll bump up our ratings as we increase the size of our audience over there. This is the July 4th special of Trumpet Day. We're going to finish it, because it's a special day, we're going to finish it just a few minutes early so that you can go out and enjoy and celebrate this national holiday. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thanks for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.